Coming up on KUCB News, an Alaska's girls volleyball team has big goals heading into the state competition, and the radio station is hosting a call-in show to hear your concerns about local air service. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, December 2nd, 2019. KUCB is holding a live call-in show tomorrow to discuss Unalaska's flight service in the aftermath of October's plane crash. Tune in at noon to join the program and tell us how you've been affected by the month-long suspension of regular flights, Raven Air Group's new schedule and baggage rules, the suspension of Alaska Airlines' miles program for the route, and any other short or long-term impacts that you're seeing for the community. We want to hear your questions and concerns about air service, so please join us tomorrow at noon for the call-in show right here on 89.7 FM. Engineers have taken down one of Unalaska's four meteorological towers after it was damaged in a fall storm. But as KUCB's Hope McKenney reports, its loss is not expected to compromise the city's ongoing study testing the feasibility of a local wind farm.
Don't we need to bring four more over here?
Yeah, I have all six over there.
Would you like me to carry some?
Yeah,
here?
Sure. Okay. I'll give you a hand.
Out on Hog Island, workers are busy preparing a met tower for winter, anchoring it deeper into the ground. That way, when high winds blow and heavy rain falls, it'll stand up to the elements and avoid damage. The reinforcement is important because the city is using these towers to collect data for an energy study that'll determine if Unalaska can produce electricity from wind energy in the future. And already, one structure by Pyramid Valley's Icy Creek has been removed after an October windstorm gusted 85 miles per hour and knocked it over.
Loss of that tower means very little. It was meant as a reference point. We have enough data for that reference point. And so the loss of the tower does not affect the project.
That's Doug Vaught, a consultant with the Anchorage-based company V3 Energy. He says if the city decides to pursue a permanent wind farm, the turbines wouldn't be at risk of storm damage. While test towers are lightweight and designed to obtain data as inexpensively as possible, wind turbines are built for the long haul with a concrete foundation. Beyond the one damaged tower, Vaught says Unalaska's wind study is going well. Two of the remaining met structures have been up for more than a year, tracking wind speed, turbulence, and probability. And based on preliminary data, he says another Pyramid Valley location, near Veronica Lake, would probably be the best bet for a wind farm. It also has the benefit of existing infrastructure, like roads and power, that would lower installation costs.
Part of the whole focus of the project was to look for sites that can actually be constructed. And that's really the limiting factor of any Alaska project, is there's lots of windy spots, but they need to be not only near a community, but near existing development.
Vaught says a number of Alaska communities are having success in incorporating renewable wind energy into their grids, including Kotzebue and Kodiak. But it's still unclear how a wind farm would stack up to Unalaska's diesel powerhouse, which has been its only electricity provider since World War II. With wind, consumers might not see a big drop in their utility bills, but Vaught says the costs would likely be more consistent.
You can think of it as a price stabilizer because you are, for years into the future, displacing a known percentage of fossil fuel. So should fossil fuel prices rise abruptly for events way out of the community's control, say a war, you've banked a savings.
That said, the city of Unalaska will have to decide whether those savings are enough to justify a permanent wind farm. Already, the study phase is set to cost $420,000. Vaught says fossil fuel power plants are usually just plain easier than renewables. They're inexpensive up front, have high energy output, and use well-established and understood technologies.
There's an entire ecosystem, if you will, of infrastructure and industry around their extraction, refining, transport and usage. But the consequence is they produce a lot of carbon. And that is one of the driving reasons for renewable energy, is to offset the carbon implication of burning fossil fuels.
For Unalaska, that's a compelling reason to at least give wind energy some serious consideration. Mark Morrow is a city engineering technician.
We could maybe get 10% off of it. Doug says he wouldn't be happy with 3, but I would, because it's just less diesel up the stack.
The city will make its decision on whether to proceed after the remaining Met towers finish collecting data in the next year or so. If officials do go forward with wind, they'll also need to decide how much energy they hope to produce, how they'll integrate turbines into the existing grid, and how they'll store the energy so utilities aren't at the mercy of inconsistent winds. While it's a lot to figure out and would require a substantial investment, Vaught says wind energy may be worth it if Unalaska really wants to minimize its environmental footprint.
If the community wants to do its part in offsetting carbon dioxide from fossil fuel production, then wind energy plays a role. You know, if the decision is purely economic, then that might lead to a different answer. But this is my personal view, that if one is concerned about climate change, then one should be concerned about carbon.
The city has marked funding for renewables as one of its lobbying priorities. In addition to exploring wind energy, the city is considering purchasing power from a private company developing a geothermal project at nearby Mikushin Volcano. Unalashka China Power LLC are expected to share more details on that effort next month. In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKenney.
The Unalaska Raiders are headed to the state volleyball tournament this week after playing an undefeated season and capturing the 2A regional title. To hear how they're preparing for state, one of KUCB's student contributors sat down with members of the girls' team.
My name is Gilmar Tapowan, and I'm a local senior at Unalaska City High School, and I'm here to interview Allery Tungle and Kayla Villamore about how their volleyball season is going so far.
Hi, I'm Allery Tungle, and I'm also a senior at Unalaska City High School, and I'm a middle hitter for the varsity volleyball team.
My name is Kayla Villamore. I'm a senior as well, and I'm an outside hitter for the varsity volleyball team.
So, to start it off, how is the season going for you guys?
I think the season is going pretty well for us. We were first seed at regions, and now we're coming in at state first seed region champs, and we've grown a lot throughout the whole season.
And I did hear about that you guys were undefeated and that you guys are going to state. So how are you guys preparing for that?
Practicing going into regions and practicing now this past week, it's kind of been the same. Like, the dynamic has been the same in terms of repetition and just doing what we know we can do and being confident in that rather than try to do something new or have the idea in the back of our head that, oh, well, because we're undefeated and, you know, people kind of are looking out for us, and we know that. So we're just kind of sticking to what we know and being confident in what we do.
Yeah, well, we start, like, one goal at a time. We started off with having goals at regions. We got our goals and played well. Now we have our small goals getting into state. So I think we're going to do good, yeah. I hope.
We have, like, this mark board in practice where we, like, wrote down goals as a team, and we've been slowly checking them off. And so we're hoping that it keeps going, but yeah.
Looking at the banners in, like, the high school, they're all runner-up and they're all second place, but we're just rooting for you guys. Like, we're hoping that you guys do really well and that you bring home a banner so you can, like, brag about it.
Like, 20 years from now.
Exactly.
Mr. Like, Wilson did tell us a banner lasts forever.
Yeah, like he said, the one thing that doesn't ever come down in a school or is just a banner, like, it just stays there forever.
Like, you could replace the trophies in the trophy case, but you can never replace a banner. Oh, yeah. Especially the first place championship banner, state championship banner.
Like you said, there are more so just runner-up, but and only one championship banner from the boys' basketball team a few years ago, but there has never been a girls' team for any sport that has gotten a championship, so
we hope we're the ones getting in that.
So how are you guys feeling about competing in state?
I'm excited. This is my second year going to state volleyball. I went my sophomore year, and back then we've only had the goal to get to state and going was just like, okay, we're going to play our best and see where we go. Like, we didn't really have a plan. This year, we're more prepared. We're more experienced. We got more seniors, better chemistry. Everything's going good and smooth so far. And I think that will be on our side getting into state.
Personally, it's my first time at state for volleyball. I have nerves, but it's not nerves in terms of not being confident in what we can do. And I think it's more so nerves that I'm excited and knowing that it's our all like a lot of our last go around. We have, what, 6 seniors that travel?
Yeah, so we're like majority of the team. Yeah. Ever since freshman year, we've been majority of the team.
Uh-huh. It's just, it's a big moment for everyone, but especially for our seniors, just because it's kind of our last time to do something.
Year. Every year we used to say, it's okay, there's next year, there's next year. But we have no more next year. This is our last chance.
I think emotions are just going to be high either way. A lot of us seniors have been there for a long time and lived here our entire lives. So doing it for this, you know, the city and the community that's been supportive forever.
Yeah, we've been playing since 6th grade.
Yeah.
Everyone's expected that we'd bring home a banner every year since freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been close. And I really want to do this not just for our team, for our coaches, but for our community.
Mm-hmm. I think our victories are more of a whole community victory. Like, it's not just about, you know, the 8 of us that are going to travel on this trip, but it's more, you know, there's a bigger picture to it.
That was Allery Tungle and Kayla Villamore of Unalaska's girls volleyball team speaking with KUCB's student contributor, Gilmar Tapowin. The Raiders will take the court for their first game of the state competition on Thursday morning at 11:45 against King Cove. There will be a live stream for the game, and you can find it online by visiting KUCB's community calendar. An ongoing measles epidemic in Samoa has killed more than 30 people and sickened thousands more, prompting the government to close schools and launch a mass vaccination campaign. This is all happening thousands of miles from Alaska, but as Alaska Public Media's Kirsten Swan reports, state health officials are paying attention.
Matthew Bobo is the state of Alaska's immunization program manager. He says that as of 2016, more than 10% of Alaska kids aged 2 and under had not yet been vaccinated against the measles.
So there might be a case floating around in the population, and if your child doesn't have that protection, then they could possibly get the illness.
There hasn't been a reported case of measles in Alaska since a Kenai Peninsula teenager was diagnosed in July. And nationwide, there were only 10 cases reported in the month of October. But Alaskans have family ties all over the globe, and Anchorage is known as the air crossroads of the world. So when it comes to contagious diseases like the measles, Bobo says public health officials think internationally.
Alaskans travel all over the world, so there's always the potential to get an import case coming into our state. So we're always constantly monitoring.
Public health officials are also taking steps to spread awareness. Drew Shannon, a public health nurse with the Anchorage Health Department, says it's important to be vaccinated.
An outbreak is only a plane ride away, so if somebody gets infected where they're having an outbreak in another country, they can return to Alaska with that infection and then spread it to those who are most at risk and vulnerable for it.
Infants, pregnant women, and people with compromised immune systems are particularly vulnerable to infection, according to the Federal Centers for Disease Control. The surest way to protect those members of a community is through herd immunity. And to reach herd immunity when it comes to measles, researchers say a community must have a vaccination rate of above 90%. In Samoa, the measles vaccination rate plunged below 40% last year, according to estimates from the World Health Organization. In Alaska, meanwhile, measles vaccination rates hover around 88%. Public health officials say that number has remained mostly stable over the years. But when you factor in immunization rates for other vaccine-preventable illnesses, from polio to chickenpox and mumps, Alaska's vaccination rate plunges to around 69%. Shannon, the Anchorage public health nurse, says health officials have noticed a troubling trend.
We are seeing a small but increasing proportion of children that received no vaccine. So even though, like, the total coverage rate has gone up, got more kids completing the vaccine, but at the same time, we have more children receiving no vaccines at all.
Public health officials say there's no clear reason for the growing number of unvaccinated kids. But as Samoa's measles epidemic shows, it can have deadly consequences. The most effective way to boost the numbers? Health officials say it's all about improving education and access. Immunizations are currently available at public health centers around the state. In Anchorage, I'm Kirsten Swan.
And that is the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.